Welcome to episode number 7 of the Outdoors Initiative podcast. I am your host, Alex Burton, helping you take the initiative to get outdoors. I was going to do today's show on a brief history of our national parks and their current state of affairs. I just couldn't resist changing my mind to something a little more fun that came up. Recently, I was over at my uncle's place. We went out around dark, sit down on his dock behind his house there to try for some late night catfish. The time the sun went down until after I left, hours later, I couldn't get past the amount of bullfrogs we could hear from around the small lake he lives on. It was insane. I mean, it was just constant, just burp, 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 burp. I mean, all night long. And I just couldn't resist wishing I had my frog gig and a spot lamp. The sound of fresh frog legs in a fryer had my mouth watering. His son, he's about 14, was sitting around out there with us, and I asked him if he'd ever been frogging before, and not only had he not, he didn't even know it was a thing. So I sat around for a bit explaining the finer points on how to stalk bullfrogs like a ninja in the night. But after that, I began asking other people I know at work about gigging for frogs and stuff like that, and surprisingly, quite a few people had heard of it, but not very many people actually went out and did it. So I decided I was going to do today's podcast on the lost art of frog gigging. We'll save the history lesson for maybe next week, but yeah, today's episode, I changed it over, is going to be all on frog gigging. It's just so simple to get out and do. It's so much fun, and it's probably one of the easiest ways to procure a delicious wild meal and enjoy the beautiful summer nights all at the same time. So today we're going to go over why you should target bullfrogs and their invasive side, which a lot of people don't know about, identifying bullfrogs versus green frogs, basic gear to go at frog gigging, different techniques you can use to try to catch them, how to clean frogs, and how to prepare them. So listen up, and if you've never pursued bullfrogs, get ready to want to gather up the kids or a few buddies and head out to your nearest pond. So before we get into identifying and going after bullfrogs and everything you need, I wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of why you may want to target these more than you think. Little known fact that outside of the eastern U.S., bullfrogs are actually an invasive species. They're a pretty dangerous invasive species on top of that. Not in the traditional sense of the word of they'll cause you physical harm, but to an ecosystem where they have been accidentally or intentionally introduced for food, they can completely destroy or cause some serious disruptions of that. Bullfrogs are highly competitive for food sources, and they are very aggressive. They will darn near eat anything that they can get in their mouths. I'm talking turtles, frogs, fish eggs, fish, small reptiles, mouse, insects, birds if they get the chance. They're just like eating machines. So even as tadpoles, they're eating machines too. They can put a hurting on some local aquatic vegetation like plants and algae and further disrupt the aquatic insect populations that other frog species and small fish and things rely on. The reason why they are so bad to get into a or an ecosystem where they don't belong is females generally lay about 20,000 eggs each mating season. That's well above and beyond the average for most frog species. So imagine what kind of impact they can quickly have on any type of ecosystem they aren't native to. They're going to outproduce and out-eat any other type of frog that's in that environment as well as with most other species that aren't used to having them. And, I mean, bullfrogs do have a decent amount of predators. I mean, larger snakes, herons, raccoons, stuff like that are preying on them. But when you're laying 20,000 eggs a year per frog, I mean, you're going to have to do some serious work to put a dent in their populations at all. And to top it all off, they're really not picky about water either. As long as they can find somewhere where it's warm and wet and has some places for them to hide, you can bet they're going to move into it and lay some eggs. My mom has one of them small in-ground ponds in her flower bed in her front yard, and almost every year she gets bullfrogs or green frogs in it. Most of the time they're bullfrogs. So there's no ponds within a good distance around her house. So them frogs traveled a good ways to come make a home in her little pond out in her flower bed. So by participating in the frog gigging for bullfrogs, it's a great way to help conserve your local waterways. Not only that, you get a good meal out of it. So if they're not native, you have to do your part to keep their population in check. So if you think about it, it's a crime against conservation if you don't get into frog gigging. So do what you can to help restore native ecosystems the way they once were by going to your local one. And if you see some bullfrogs that are considered invasive, take them out. Also, before we get into this too, check your local hunting and fishing regulations on if there's any, like, a specific season for bullfrogs, or if there's a bag limit, or if you need a hunting or a fishing license, depending on how you're going to do it. I know that's how it is here in Kentucky. Our bullfrog season usually starts in, I believe it's May, and it runs through October. I don't have the exact numbers off my head, or I'd read them off to you. But yeah, but we have like a bag limit, and there's, depending on how you take them, you need a hunting or a fishing license. You can't just go to a pond and start grabbing them. So check into that stuff before you get into any of this. But all right, let's go ahead and move into identifying bullfrogs versus a green frog. I'm sure most of us have dissected a bullfrog or two in our lives in biology during high school. But they do have a sort of look-alike called a green frog that they live in a lot of the same areas they're in. So the American bullfrog is probably one of the most abundant frogs in the United States. They can be found in every state besides Colorado, Nebraska, South Dakota, Minnesota. And oddly enough, when I was looking that up, Florida came up as a list where there's not a lot of them, which was Very surprising, because out of all the invasive areas they could get into, I figured as warm and swampy as Florida was, they would be loaded with bullfrogs. But I don't know if it's all the predators there or take them out before they get a chance to reproduce or what, but Florida was on the list. That one really surprised me. Bullfrogs can grow between 3 to 8 inches from nose to the tips of their toes on their feet. On average, they generally weigh about a pound if you get a good full size one. If they're in the right areas and they're eating the right stuff, they can get up to almost 2 pounds. Females are larger than the males as well. So if you see a 2 pound bullfrog, more than likely it's a female. So those are the ones generally when you're out frog gigging, the bigger frogs you're collecting are the females. So keep an eye out for that. I have to bring this up while on the subject of size. There was actually a BS story going around online a few years ago that some guy killed a 13-pound frogzilla, as they called it, bullfrog in Texas. It was crap, of course. But apparently there is a frog that could get close to that, but even it's still got a ways to go. But it's called a Goliath frog. It is the largest frog in the bullfrog species there. It can weigh up to 7 pounds. Could you imagine finding a 7-pound frog living in your pond? It would scare the hell out of me if I was out gigging for frogs, and I would think that was probably a rock or something in the dark. Spotting that thing and seeing it as a frog, that would freak me out. No, anyways, generally they're a dark green to brown color with like a rough pebblish looking skin, looks like warts and stuff on their back. It's textured looking, and their bellies would be off white to yellow color. They have golden eyes that sit on top of their head on each side, and they got kind of a sideways cat eye pupil is what you, I guess I would call it. And they also have blunt, rounded noses and pretty muscular looking bodies. Now, the important part here, to tell them apart from a green frog, green frogs are usually smaller, but I mean, they can get a pretty decent size themselves. So you got to pay attention when you spotlight them, when you're going to gig them. If you look towards the back of their eyes, going towards the back of their head, you'll see this round spot that sits back there. That's actually their eardrum. So, I'm hoping I'm saying this right. Tympanum is the scientific name for that, but it's their eardrum. Now, if you look there, you'll see like, it looks like a line that runs from the back corner of their eye and it goes down and around that and straight down back towards their mouth. If that line curves back towards their mouth, that is a bullfrog. If it runs straight back, like towards down the side of their body, that's a green frog. So that's the easiest way to tell them apart. And it can be hard sometimes. I've gigged a couple of green frogs on accident because it looked good. But I mean, most of the time when you're frog gigging, you're doing it at night in the dark with a headlamp or a spotlight. So if you miss it, it happens every now and then. So just that's keep that in mind to look for that glandular fold is what it's called, that runs from their eye around their eardrum and straight back down. That's how you tell the difference between a bullfrog and a green frog. And we had talked about earlier what bullfrogs generally eat, which is just about anything that'll fit in their mouth. And tadpoles the same. They insects, aquatic vegetation, things like that. So, now, on to gear you will need. I hope you have a pen and paper ready, because this can be a pretty extensive and complex set of gear if you want to do it right. So, I hope you got a pen and paper ready. If not, you might have to go back through and listen to this a few times to make sure you get it right. You're going to need a bright LED flashlight or headlamp, a frog gig, a bag to put them in, and waders if you want them. And that's it. I was joking. That's all you need for a night of frog gigging, minus some snacks and some drinks. Super simple list, guys. You can pick all of that up for way less than probably $50, if that. So a lot of that stuff you probably already have around. When you go to pick a bag, though, try to get one. A pillowcase works really good if you just don't have anything else. So if you got an old pillowcase laying around, that'll work great. But if you do go look for something like any type of bag to put them in, like bug nets are really good because it's really fine mesh. But you just want something that'll let some water drain out, because frogs be wet when you're pulling them out of the water, so that water drains out and isn't just sitting in the bottom of the bag with the frogs. You can purchase a gig head at most sporting goods stores, and they have a bunch of different ones. You can get them from anywhere from a single prong to five or more prongs, depending on what you're using them for. For a frog, I prefer at least a five prong. It's just it gives you a little bit of a wider gig head, and it just makes it easier so you don't miss as easily, I guess. If you're using one or two, I mean, there's a good chance, unless you're dead on them, the barbs might not stick right. If you break one in the process, frog can get away and you just wounded a frog and things like that. But that's all a gig head is, though. It's just prongs are about 5 to 7 inches long and they got barbed ends, and that's what you use to jam down on top of the frog. Now, usually, I mean, you can buy a full gig, but usually you'll have to order those online. And honestly, I tried to find some I could order myself and try out for y'all to recommend later. Couldn't do it. Everyone's I saw online were just junk. My first frog gig I got, which I still have, I just changed the head out on it, but it's basically a 8 foot, six, or well, you want about a 6 to 8 foot rod you're going to put that gig head on. Mine's an 8 foot, what used to be flounder gig that my dad had in the garage. I took that and the old gig head on it was rusted out, so I swapped it out for a frog gig head. Ooh, sorry. And that's what I use. It's got great reach if I need it, and everything else. But I do have a gig head recommendation for y'all that I'll talk about at the end of the show, because that's going to be this week's item of the week. That's really all you need. That's the traditional way to go frog gigging. You do have two other options if you want. You can try those, and if you'd rather not, stab a frog. I don't know, if some people may not have it in them. Who knows? But you still need a flashlight and a bag to put them in. But your other options are you can use a pellet gun or a .22. Apparently, my dad, I didn't know that until I was talking about doing a podcast on this the other day, but they used to go out in boats. At my great-grandparents' farm we used to have. They'd float around in boats out there with a 22 handgun and pop frogs at night with them, which it's legal to do here in Kentucky. I would prefer the pellet gun, but basically the concept's going to be the same. We'll get into the technique for how you get your frog, but the concept's going to be the same with a pellet gun or a gig. And the other way you can do it is to use a cane pole or any type of fishing pole you have laying around. You want a good, at least 10, 20-pound line, test line on there, though, because some of the bullfrogs are pretty heavy. And basically what you do is you just take that line, you get a gold, small gold treble hook, tie it on to the end, get yourself a piece of red yarn, and you want it a couple inches long, and you're going to tie that onto the end of the treble hook pretty good. And you want the tag ends of that piece of yarn to be able to flop around on the stick out enough to where they can wiggle around. And that's a really fun way to do it. Well, I'll explain that how to use it properly here in a minute when we get into that. But I've done it all three ways. The approach is roughly the same for each, but I mean, each one's going to have their pros and cons, so you'll have to decide which way you'd rather do it. If all else fails, just stick to the traditional route. Now, for going after some bullfrogs, before we get into specifics, just like anything else in hunting, stealth is key. You got to move swiftly to find them, but you want to be quiet because you don't want to walk past them and scare them off or let them hop in and they'll do this little high pitch whip noise and it'll warn some of the other ones around them and all the bullfrogs around you shut up. Then you'll have to sit there quietly in the dark with your headlamp off until they start croaking again. Bullfrogs are mainly active at night. So that's going to be the best time to find them. So you're going to want to pick a nice, warm summer night to do this on. And head to your pond or lake edge or river, wherever you're going to do this at. And just pick a nice, good summer night to do it on, though. If you're doing a pond, they like to hide up in the aquatic vegetation on the outside edges, though. But rarely will you find them out in deep water, obviously. So you're going to stick to the inside edge, the outermost edge of the pond or wherever you're at looking for them. Now, if you're going to go the traditional route with a gig, you're going to take your flashlight and you can either slowly shine it on the outside edge of the pond and you're going to be looking for their golden colored eyes to basically light up with the light there. You spot one. It helps if you work in teams when you're doing this too. You can have one person working the spotlight and one person going to gig and y'all can just trade off as you go. But basically, when the person spots one, the person who's going to be doing the gigging is going to make their way over to that frog and you're going to hold that spotlight directly on them. And basically what it does is it makes them freeze up. You're going to take your gig and you're going to very carefully get it over top of it. And then in one swift motion, shoot, straight down on top. Now you want to aim towards the center of the back of the base of their head there. That'll give you the best surface area to hit with it. If you're jamming them in shallow water, I mean, you really just want to pin them down and then just stick your hand down in the water and grab the frog with your hand and pull the gig and the frog up at the same time. Pull the frog off the end of it, throw it in your bag. If it's a little bit deeper water, really you're going to have to just hit them one good time with it and then quickly flip the gig up out of the water before they try to squirm off and get the barbs out. Other way to do it too, males are the ones you hear all night croaking real loud. You can listen for the croaks and then basically find the frog that's croaking. So you just sit there and listen, and you hear the nearest one, take your spotlight, and just start carefully walking down the bank listening for it. And I mean, you'll find pinpointing pretty easy. They're pretty loud. They're pretty easy to find once they start croaking real loud like that. So that's the traditional way to go about it. If you're going to use a pellet gun or a .22, in Kentucky, you need a hunting license to do this. It's completely legal. So I said, check with your local fish and wildlife regulations. If you're doing a gig or a fishing pole, you need a fishing license. So anyway, so if you're going to use a pellet gun, which is what I recommend between the two, same concept. You're basically going to spotlight your frog you targeted, either by sight or sound. I like to get as close up to them as I can. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to aim that pellet gun towards the back center of the frog, about a half inch below their eyes if you can. And that's a dead shot into their brain, which in most instances leaves them floating dead in the water for you to collect. You get a front shot on one, I mean, you're aiming for the same area, so I mean, you're just going to think towards the back of the frog for the surface area. But you want to put a clean shot in their head. So I said they might make flop around in the water for a minute. But most of the time, if you get close and do it, it leaves them just floating dead on the water. Some people even do this from small boats, like I said earlier. My dad and them used to do that. Their boats are canoes and basically just float inside the pond or wherever you're at. Just quietly sit there and you spotlight them and pop them. If you're going to do it that way, you might want to go for a 22 because you're going to get the shock factor from the round hitting them. And that is an instant kill. Well, I guess it really doesn't matter because you're really just taking the legs off of them. But I guarantee you're going to – I haven't never done it with a 22, so I don't know how much damage is possible there, but I guarantee it's a kill shot regardless of where you hit them at with a 22. The other drawback to using the 22, though, is it's going to be a little loud for the stealth quietness you're going for on a late night. So if you pop one, you're probably going to scare the other ones down back inside the water for a little bit, and you're going to have to sit back in the boat and wait again. So if you're going for a quick bag limit, that's not going to be the best way to do it. Might be fun to do it, but I don't know. So now if you want to use a fishing pole, this one's pretty fun to do, but you got to have the stomach for it at the end because basically you're catching these frogs alive. After you catch them alive, you're going to have to kill them. So some people just don't have it in them. The best way to do it is to find a rock or something really hard, and you basically grab them by their legs, and you smack the top of their heads as hard as you can on something hard. Instantly kills them. A lot of people don't have the stomach for it. I've only done it this way a few times. Most of the time, we just do it for fun, and we'll let them go. So, but anyway, to use the fishing pole, I like to use a good 7-foot heavy fishing rod with about 10, 20 pound fluoro on it, or braid if you want to go with braid, or even a good sturdy cane pole will work good with this. Like I said, you're going to tie that treble hook to the end of your line with that piece of red string tied on there. You're going to find your frog and spotlight them. And basically what you're going to do is lower that treble hook down in front of their eyes. And you just gently shake your hand just enough to make that treble hook and that yarn wiggle. My best guess, I'm assuming they think it's a bug or something right in front of them. And even with that spotlight on them, they can't resist. It's the anticipation will kill you waiting for them to strike that thing. Basically, they'll snatch the crap out of it. You just lift up, hooks them in the mouth, and you just pick them straight up out of the water. And you got yourself a live bullfrog. But that's when I got in. That's what I said. That's when, if you're going to keep them that way, a lot of people don't have a stomach for it, then you're going to have to smack them up against something with to kill them. That's the best humane way to do it. Don't go around chopping frog legs off live frogs and toss them to the wayside. That is cruel and inhumane. Just don't do it that way. Now, after you got yourself a good bag of frogs there, cleaning them is stupid easy. It's another reason why frog gigging is so much fun. You get a quick, easy meal out of the whole process. So whatever way you choose to take them, you got your full bag limit there. All you really need is a sharp knife or a pair of game shears and a pair of pliers. That's all you need. You want to cut both their back legs off together. So what you're going to do is take your knife or your shears and you want to go maybe a quarter of an inch above where their leg sockets are, and you just literally just snip the whole back half off like that. Then you're going to find where you cut it at, and you're going to take your pliers and basically just grab the frog skin and just carefully peel the frog's skin off its legs all the way down. And from there, once you get down to around their, I guess, ankles, you would call them, just take your shears or your knife and cut both their feet off. You can do that. Some people like to leave them on there, and they said it's basically like little bitty frog chips if you fry them with their feet on. I don't personally like to do it that way, but you can. It's all there is to them. After you skin them off, you can break their legs apart or leave them in twos, and you just chuck them in some ice. Then you're going to get home or wherever you're at, or if you are cleaning them in the kitchen, wash them under some good cold water, and they are ready to either be prepared to cook or prepared for the freezer. Now, if you're going to freeze them, say you didn't get a whole bag, or you're saving them up for like a, maybe like a fish fry slash frog leg party you're going to have or something, all you got to do to freeze them is just get yourself a good thick freezer bag and just drop them on in there. And then you can freeze them whole like that. Just try to pat them dry. Make sure you get as much water off of them, or excess water off of them, as you can before you freeze them like anything else you'd put in the freezer. Now, if you want to skip the freezer and go straight into cooking them, I know everybody says everything tastes like chicken, but frog legs legitimately taste like chicken. So basically, you can cook them almost any way you can cook chicken, and it will taste about the same or better. The most common way to do them is to fry them up like chicken legs. If a couple episodes ago, when I talked about squirrel hunting, I had that buttermilk fried squirrel recipe. It's still up on the website. Use that. Just replace the squirrel with frog legs. See, I almost said chicken. So, but anyway, just replace the frog legs. Oh man, I screwed that all up again. Replace the squirrel with frog legs. There we go. Got it that time. You can saute them in butter with some seasoning on there. You can bake them in foil with some onions and green peppers is really good. Just throw a little seasoning on there. Bake them at about, I don't know, 350 for probably 15, 20 minutes. All those are good ways to do it. But basically, any way you would fry or bake chicken, you can essentially do it with frog legs, is how I've done things anyway. I've never had any problems with it. They're always good. Even thinking about it now, I'm so ready to go out and get some frog legs to eat. It's killing me. As a matter of fact, when I go after some this weekend, I will check around online and see if I can find some new recipes to cook with them and try them. If they're good, I'll write up a recipe article for them, and definitely be sure to get them up on the website. And one last note, if you do plan on saving them for any length of time, like I like to get a couple freezer bags full if I can, and not full big freezer bags, but enough for I can eat, snack on them, or make them throughout the colder months when you can't gig for frogs anymore. Or they're just out in hibernation wherever they go. But if you're going to do it that way, I highly suggest vacuum sealing them and wrapping them in some freezer paper just to help protect them from any freezer burn. But beyond that, if you're just going to keep them for like a little bit before, just to help collect up a good batch before you fry them all at once, just throw them in a regular Ziploc bag. Other than that, vacuum seal them, wrap them in some freezer paper, label them, stick them up in the freezer for a good meal later on during the winter. That's really all there is to gigging for frogs though, guys. It's literally the simplest thing you can go harvest yourself. And from any real local lake or pond, as long as your state's got bullfrogs, go get them. It's a fantastic activity for groups, and you can even take your kids out and do it. I'm trying to convince my daughter. She is unsure whether or not she really wants to go kill some frogs or not, but I'm going to try to get her out myself this weekend, just show her what to do. If not, I'm going to go try to find somebody that's never big frog gigging before, and I'll probably take them out, mentor somebody new, and get them into the sport. But it's not that complicated, guys. Once you get the first one out of the way, it'll be just right on it. After that, you'll know exactly what to do, where to look for them. It's just all around good fun, guys. I've been gigging for frogs for probably since high school. I think I got into it with a couple friends. We used to go to, a buddy of mine had a pretty decent sized farm with three ponds on it, loaded with frogs, loaded. So we'd go down there, we'd set some catfish poles up on bottom with little bells on them, and while we were waiting for catfish to come get them, we'd be stocking the ponds with some spot lamps and some frog gigs, getting us up some frogs, and then by the end of the night, you got yourself a good catfish and frog leg meal ready to go, sit around the fire and eat it. So you just can't beat it, guys. It's so simple. Get out. It's a lot of fun. Now, for this week's item as of the week, I said earlier, I'd mentioned it's going to be an Eagle Claws 5-prong fish spear. I know I said fish spear, but they're basically just a gig for fish, and you can use them for frogs. The reason why I recommend these is most gigs you're going to buy specifically for frogs are cheap and they're flimsy and you will not get very much use out of them. Most of them are just garbage. Like, you'd be better off putting paper clips together on the end of a stick and trying to go gigging with them. I've had them, I've bought them, different brands of them, and yeah, the first time I use them, it'll bend one of the prongs on it. They're not very sharp. They fall apart real easy after a few uses. It's just, yeah. Now, Eagle Claw, this one they make, the prongs are thicker. It's a solid metal construction, and they got their black, and it's got a coating on it that helps. I'm assuming that's what the black, I think it's just black paint, but regardless, it helps them stop from rusting as faster, so you can get, if you take care of them, and you watch where you're stabbing, and not hitting rocks underneath the water, or jamming it in the ground when you sit it down and stuff like that, you can get almost a full season's worth of bullfrog gigging out of them. Call me paranoid, but I even like to keep one in my hiking bag on the off chance that I ever actually do get lost. And hopefully it's during bullfrog season when they're about, whether or not they're actually in season, but they're out. I can at least use it to maybe spear some fish or some frogs for me to eat until I'm found or self-rescue. But that's neither here nor there, but that's just, they're that small and light that you can keep them in your bag or in with your survival gear if you really wanted to. Now, I hear lately I've had a hard time finding these. I used to be able to pick them up from Walmart, but apparently they don't carry them anymore, so I've had to order them off of Amazon. Now, I will have a link in the show notes to take you over. You can read my review on them, and it also has a link in there for you to click them, and it will take you straight over to Amazon where you can order them. They are $5.64 a piece. That's it. And they have qualify for prime shipping, so you can get them in 2 days or less. So they're cheap enough, you can order three or four of them at a time, and you'll have extras in case something does happen. They even come with the hardware, which that's what's depending. You can use broom handles to attach these to. I like to use that bamboo bamboo flounder gig my dad gave me. I swapped the head out on, but basically all you got to do, you just drill a hole through it, and that slides up on there, and you use that screw to go in, and it holds the head on. I also felt like it was needed to say, I have a disclaimer on the website under the about affiliate links. If you do go to Amazon, or if you go to my review of this, and you click that link that takes you to Amazon, I do get a small percentage at no extra cost to you through affiliate program links through Amazon. These help me keep the website and the podcast going. So if you like the show and you want to help support it, it's a great way to get yourself some gear and know that it's something I use and it's worth the money to buy, and it helps me out in the process. So for all you guys that have been listening to the show, thank you so much for the support. And for those that have written in with recommendations like I've asked for things I can do to improve the show, thank you so much for those. But yeah, if you want to help me out and help support the show and help me keep it going and keep the website going, use the affiliate links and buy some stuff. By the end of it, you'll have some great gear, and you help me out at the end. As usual, if you have any questions about the outdoors, please send them in to me through my contact form on the website at iowapodcast.com. I hope to start getting some in with some cool stories from everybody where they've either used like last episode to plan their first camping trip and went out on one. What was your experience like? Let me know. Maybe I'll read it on the air. I hope to eventually add that in as a regular part of the show where I get to read letters or emails from listeners of the show. And that's the whole point of the show, is to get people into the outdoors. So guys, let me hear your experiences. The same goes for if you have any recommendations. Like I just said a minute ago, I've had a few people give me some pointers and things I can do to improve it. If you want to be a guest or just anything else in general, just fill out the contact form or send me an email to alex@oipodcast.com. If you want to stay completely up to date on everything, you can follow along on my social media. I will be sure to put links in the show notes for the Outdoors Initiative podcast Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. And I'm currently working on a new social media app I've been looking into called MeWe. So I'm setting up something on there. So if you're on MeWe, guys, look up the Outdoors Initiative podcast and join the group for it. If you do like the show and what I do, please be sure to rate it and leave a quick review on whatever platform you're listening on. And guys, if you got some other friends that you'd like to get outdoors with you or anything else, let them know about the show. Maybe y'all can end up doing things together. But just telling others about the show or giving me a little review or rating on how I'm doing really helps me improve the show and gets the word out about it. So to everybody that has been listening, once again, I thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me and support the show. It really does mean a lot to me, guys. As I said, most of the time I'm a one-man show over here. So all the articles you read on the website, all the updates I make to the website, planning the podcast, recording the episodes, doing all the editing myself, it's a lot of work. I put quite a few hours in every week to keep this going, but I can't help it. I love to see people get into the outdoors, and I'd like to teach about it. So just keep listening and keep supporting me, guys, and I'll keep this going, hopefully for a while. With that, thanks for listening, and make sure to get outdoors some this week. I'll talk to you all next week.